This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
While the U.S. hits the official debt ceiling today, the Treasury can figure out some wiggle room, but only for a while. I'm David Brancaccio. The U.S. government is about to hit the congressionally imposed upper limit on its borrowing. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has said the department will now take what are called extraordinary measures to be able to keep paying the bills, Medicare, the military included, until the country hits a firm money runs out, drop dead date, probably sometime in June, Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
Extraordinary measures sounds pretty dramatic.
Sounds like something that might be used in a Harry Potter film.
Mark Hamrick is at Bankrate.
But really what that means is any number of different accounting maneuvers to conserve cash.
Basically, Treasury will have to move some money around so it can keep paying the country's most important bills.
This is not unlike a household budget where some payments are absolutely necessary, but perhaps another payment is more discretionary.
In this case, with the federal government, what kind of payments might be more discretionary?
This includes retiree funds for government employees.
Dan Sickle is at Wellesley College.
There's a fund that's set up to use for stabilizing exchange rates.
Treasury can pull from them for now and pay them back later, if and when Congress does vote to raise the debt limit. But those funds are limited. There's only so long this can go on before they run out too, and the U.S. government can't pay its bills.
This is much like a family spending a bunch of money on a credit card. And then when the bill comes at the end of the month, saying, you know, I don't want to pay the credit card bill.
The federal government has basically already bought a bunch of stuff, and raising the debt limit will just allow it to pay for it, says Rachel Snyderman at the Bipartisan Policy Center.
The debt limit does not authorize new spending commitments. It really is just allowing the government to finance its existing legal obligations.
Commitments that lawmakers of both parties have already made. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
We've known for weeks that U.S. factories are going quiet. Yesterday, the decline in retail sales. Today, it's news that the housing sector is further in recession with new construction down again. Yet, the job market's all right with new claims for unemployment benefits falling. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG.
We're in our third quarter in a row of contraction in the housing market. That is in a recession and the manufacturing sector not far behind it. What was interesting is we're still going to get a positive fourth quarter, and that's good. The labor market is still strong enough to absorb anyone who loses a job. That's good news in most times. Right now, the fact that unemployment claims are falling to record lows is worrisome to the Fed of a labor market that may be overheating and create a floor for inflation that could be too high.
KPMG economist Diane Swonk there. Across the country, governments are working on plans for their share of a $26 billion settlement with opioid makers and distributors. Today, we'll look at a possible model. It's a health clinic in central Illinois that received a windfall from a surprise donation. Bram Sable-Smith reports for Kaiser Health News.
The question came out of the blue for Crossing Healthcare CEO Tanya Andrix. If she had $30 million, how would she build an addiction treatment program? The interim sheriff of Macon County, Illinois, posed that question to her in 2018. Andrix told him she'd have to do some research.
And he just looked at me and said, I'm serious, and don't take too long. The offer won't be on the table forever.
That sheriff? Howard Buffett, the philanthropist son of Warren Buffett, the billionaire. The younger Buffett lives and farms here in central Illinois. He ended up giving Crossing the $30 million from his charitable foundation. There was a catch, though. The donation was a one-time gift just to pay for the buildings. Tanya Andrix would have to find the money to keep it going. I asked Buffett why.
I think that's an easy answer, and not to put more pressure on Tanya, but Tanya has to prove that this works.
If she succeeds, Buffett says, it should spur more of this type of investment with public and private money around the country. Crossing opened a whole addiction treatment campus in October 2019. It's got everything from detox rooms to long-term outpatient treatment. 36-year-old Laura Kogan was one of the first patients.
And I wish that was the end of it, but it wasn't.
It took her three tries, but eventually she made her way through detox and residential treatment. She was in transition housing and doing outpatient care when the pandemic hit. That was difficult for Kogan. It was a huge challenge for Crossing. Just about every aspect of addiction treatment became more expensive, including staffing. And Andrick says,
people didn't want to be in a facility, a congregate living facility, during the pandemic. Those were the places that you stayed away from.
But the center was able to remain open, even as others around the country shuttered. By last summer, things started getting somewhat back to normal.
So this is my son's room. Basic 12-year-old boy room.
Laura Kogan eventually moved into the rent-controlled apartments that are also part of the recovery campus. She says she feels fortunate to be where she is.
And I hope that more people get the opportunity.
That's the point of a comprehensive program like the one at Crossing. It's just one model as communities around the country consider different ways to spend their dollars from the opioid settlement. In Decatur, Illinois, I'm Bram Sablesmith for Marketplace.
He's a reporter with Kaiser Health News, a nonprofit newsroom covering healthcare issues. And retired Olympic sprinter Usain Bolt is deeply concerned that nearly $13 million of his may have been stolen from one of his investment accounts. The Associated Press saw a letter Bolt's lawyers sent to a Jamaica-based investment firm called Stocks and Securities Limited, demanding the $12.7 million get returned within 10 days. Last week, that firm said it was looking into fraudulent activity by an employee that may have affected a number of customers. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.